It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith. What's going on?
Oh, you know.
I haven't seen you in hours.
Hours, minutes. I mean, well, it is Monday, and we do work together on Monday.
That's true.
But we had a busy weekend together.
Yes.
Together.
Las Vegas called the Pop Shop team, so we went for the iHeart Radio Music Fest. Yes,
was...
Pop Shop team unite.
Yeah, I was going to say that's like a superhero, like... The Pop Shop team showed up in Vegas and covered iHeart as best as we could.
I mean, of course we had to be at iHeart. It was the craziest, like, pop-friendly lineup ever. It was so good.
Yeah. I mean, we've got tons of coverage of iHeart online. You know,
yes.
you can see all the things that we reported on. Katie and I were backstage for the duration of both shows. Not the duration, but we were there backstage for a lot of it. We also got to see a lot of the show in person.
Mm-hmm.
We had some amazing, like, VIP action seats at one point where we were, like, 30 feet away from the stage and, like, we were sitting amongst celebrities.
We didn't belong there.
We didn't belong there. Bono walked past me three times in the hallway. And
Ariana walked past us.
That's right. And she, there was, like, a piece of ice that she almost slipped on for, like, a hot second. She was like, oh, my God. And she was, I was
we
like.
We could have been there to save Ariana Grande.
Yeah. She was very small. Yeah, what else happened? You walked past Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees.
Yes, and I tweeted about it, and then he tweeted me, so that was great. So my life's made.
He was hanging out behind next to our video booth in the one-on-one press area for a little while.
Okay, yeah, he came. It was right after I saw the Backstreet Boys, who you interviewed. I saw the Backstreet Boys walk past, and then the next person that walked past was Jeff Timmons. I was like, man, 17-year-old Katie would be having a real moment right now.
Where's
Pull
Lance
it together.
Bass?
Pull it together.
Where's Joey? So, yeah, I mean, the Vegas was just a blur of work. As we joked about last week on the show, we ate lots of food. Well, not really. Actually, no, we didn't actually eat tons of food. We spent most of our time working and spent like a good 12 hours not eating anything.
And then when we did, we made up for lost time at Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah, usually at like about 2 in the morning eating dinner.
Yes.
So there you go. There's a small recap of iHeart from this past weekend. We have done it the past 2 years and we enjoy it very much.
I'm going to do it forever.
Forever. Well, it makes sense that we talk about iHeart because that's a very pop music focused festival because the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Shawn Mendes. Oh my gosh. We caught up with him backstage at his intimate Grammy Museum concert to talk about his new album, Illuminate, which is out now, his songwriting process, and his upcoming tour, and, you know, much more. So stick around for that. Plus, we've got oodles of chart chat as usual. Drake is back at number one on the Billboard 200 with Views. The all-star Forever Country single makes a smashing debut at number one on the country songs chart. Drake's new single with Daft Punk, not Drake, The Weeknd's new single with Daft Punk.
They're both Canadian,
is making waves already on the charts. And music legend Dolly Parton makes some chart noise thanks to an unlikely pairing. But first, before we get started, If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So, let's talk about the weekend. I mean Drake. This time I really do
mean
Drake.
Well, if you want to talk about the weekend, we saw Drake this weekend perform at iHeart Radio Music Festival.
Indeed, you did. I didn't actually get to see him.
You were with me. You were 100% in the arena with me watching Drake's concert.
You're right. I was standing next to you. And I hadn't even had a lick of alcohol,
oh,
so I truly
hilarious.
Was there.
Drunk on work.
I was like, you did. You're like,
oh, that's
no.
That's hilarious.
No, dear.
Yes.
You were standing next to me.
We did. And he played quite a few songs from Views, which...
Jumps back to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart this week. It actually rises one spot and notches its 13th non-consecutive week in the penthouse.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's the most weeks at number one... Well, actually ties for the most weeks at number one since the Frozen soundtrack.
Whoa.
Also 13 non-consecutive weeks at number
one. So it beat Adele's 25 then.
Oh, yeah. It already did that a while back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah. Speaking of Frozen, by the way, Idina Menzel was at iHeart.
With some fabulous shoes.
Her shoes were so amazing.
And showing off a fabulous engagement ring as well.
Who's she engaged to?
Her boyfriend or fiance. I don't know him.
Oh.
Yeah, she's engaged.
For some reason I didn't
brand
realize.
New. This is brand new. She tweeted about it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that she was not, well, anyway. Anyway, yeah, she walked past me and her shoes were beautiful. They looked like, sort of like, Swarovski crossed with, like, a broken disco ball.
Jewel encrusted.
Yes. Anyway, back to Views. It earned 53,000 equivalent album units in the week ending September 22nd, according to Nielsen Music. The vast majority of that are units earned by streams, which we've repeatedly reported about.
And this week, Apple Music reported that Drake's Views was the first album ever on the streaming service to reach 1 billion views. So, or streams, I should say.
Yeah.
Oh, Views and Views. Never mind.
Views and Views. And, you know, Views, the album, you know, I've previously reported in various chart stories that Views, the album itself, has generated more than 2 billion overall streams for its songs in the United States across all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
So, it's popular.
People like listening to it.
Have you heard? What's also cool about the return to number one is that it actually... had a 7-week break from number one. It left number one, was 7 weeks not at number one, and now it's back at number one. And that's the longest gap between weeks at number one for an album since 2013, over 3 years, when Mumford & Sons' Babel took a 17-week vacation from number one. And you may wonder, why in the world was it like this long gap for 17 weeks? Because Drake's Views, you know, kind of makes sense because it's still a very popular album. But what happened to Babel? Babel debuted at number one in late 2012, spent like 2 weeks at number one. Then it went away. And then it won Album of the Year at the Grammy Awards the following year.
Ah.
And then it jumped back to number one.
There it is.
And spent 3 more weeks at number one. So there you go. And... who knows? Maybe if Views is nominated for a Grammy...
it'll come right back.
It'll come right back.
Stay tuned until February.
So, speaking of Drake, let's talk about The Weeknd.
Yeah, speaking of Canada.
Speaking of Canada. And also, Drake loves The Weeknd.
I mean, Drake put The Weeknd up like on tracks early on. They work together. Yes.
Yes.
They are. They're close.
Yeah, they're close. I wonder if they are close.
Well, they were close. I don't know if they still are.
You know, is there like trouble in paradise?
Not that I know of, but oh, okay. I mean, they haven't worked together in a while.
Yeah, well, I wonder, do they like, you know, hang out and stuff? And
I haven't seen a photo of them together. Like, you don't see many photos of The Weeknd, period.
Yeah,
though.
Period. He has a new haircut. Anyway,
that's what I was just going to say the same thing that I thought. I'll stop with tangents.
That's just silly. And we bring the tangent
but
back.
But it is a great haircut, though.
Back to the actual reason why we're talking about The Weeknd. Well, he dropped a new single last week, Starboy, featuring none other than Daft Punk. Starboy, which was actually co-written and co-produced by Daft Punk, is the first song to chart on any Billboard chart, in fact, where Daft Punk is the featured artist. All of their other entries have been where Daft Punk was the lead act. And before we get to what we actually think about the song, here's some chart news on it. It actually debuts at number 40 on the Billboard Hot 100. And that's basically from one day of activity. Kind of like one day of activity, because the song came out at 12 a.m. Thursday morning, which is a day earlier than most songs are supposed to come out.
It's a day earlier than global release day.
True. So, and our tracking week for the Hot 100 for its sales and streams portion runs Friday through Thursday. So the weekend had one day of streams and sales, mm-hmm. which pushed it onto the chart. It had another couple days of airplay because the Hot 100 Airplays week runs from Monday through Sunday.
Right.
So debuts at number 40, assuming it will probably move up the chart next week. I do kind of wonder if its early debut kind of might kind of impact where it could have ended up had it had a proper first week
sure.
debut.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's going to miss number one or miss the top five? Or
does it mean the weekend doesn't care?
That's probably a good case. He's just like, charts. So what do we think of the song, Katie? I mean, I know as soon as I saw that it existed, I was like, gotta play it. Click, click,
yeah,
click.
No, I think it's great. I think I was kind of wondering whether he would go less pop sounding on this new music. Because that's where he came from, a less pop sounding sound. And then Beauty Behind the Madness was such like a pop breakthrough album.
Right.
I thought maybe he would like try to shy away from it on this new music. Oh, this is a pop song and it's great. And yeah. I love it. And I love the Daft Punk like elements of it. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I had to listen to it a couple times in a row because I was mystified as to what he was actually saying, which is so, sounds dumb, but I'm like, I freely admit that I was just like, I don't know what he's actually referencing. I had to go to Genius.
Oh, so what did you learn from your Genius
reading? he said something at one point about black and white bars, and I was like, I don't understand what he means. Does he mean like a piano? Does he mean? And so I highlighted over it, and they're like, he's talking about lines of cocaine.
Oh.
And that's kind of referencing.
My mind would not have gone there either.
Well, I wouldn't have gone there.
Right.
I was like, white bars? I'm like, oh, that sort of makes sense. But it's also referencing an earlier, I think, EP or album cover of his where there is a woman with lines of cocaine on, like, a table.
Oh, okay.
And then he also says something at one point where he says, the Wraith of Khan.
Mm.
Instead of the Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Wraith is a car.
Okay.
And he was just making a cute play on words with the Wraith of Khan.
Just quick shout out to Genius existing.
I was like, thank goodness you exist. Because like, I was like, it was just like one line after another where I'm just like, I am learning.
Please teach
like,
me.
So many layers here.
Well, I also, when I first saw the title of this is the title track of his album too. So when I saw that title, Starboy, I was wondering if it was a David Bowie reference.
And then you realize what Starboy actually means.
Well, goodness.
Yeah. I didn't know that. There was a sexual reference to it, evidently. And I was like, really? Didn't know that?
Nope.
I mean, I was like, I'm very unhip. Sorry, guys. I freely admit, super unhip when it came to this song.
Genius.com.
Thank you. Not a plug.
Yeah.
It's a plug.
But they're great.
But it worked.
We're not plugging Genius or Wolfgang Puck, but they're both great. Just
yeah. FYI. Yeah. By the way, love the spaghetti and meatballs, Wolfgang Puck in Vegas. So good. Okay, so anyway, so because the song debuts straight in at number 40, that gives The Weeknd his eighth top 40 hit, and Daft Punk their second. Believe it or not, they've only had two top 40 hits.
I have one other question.
Oh, yeah,
because
sure.
of your reference earlier in the segment about Daft Punk not charting as a featured artist. Does that just mean that Kanye didn't include them as a feature artist on Stronger?
No, it was just
a sample, quote unquote.
I think so.
Okay, because it's like so prominent, it's hard to like think of it as, you know. But that, I mean, it was a sample of Stronger or Harder, Faster, Better, Stronger. But it's just like usually somebody would acknowledge that potentially.
You know what? After the show, I will double check to make sure. And
TBD.
If I am wrong, we will edit out.
You won't even hear this.
You won't even hear this. It won't even matter. But
if you're right, then you'll be hearing this right now.
But if I'm right, you'll be hearing this. All right, so let's move on. Forever Country, the all-star medley, Forever Country, blasts in at number one on the Hot Country Songs chart and at number 21 on the Billboard Hot 100. The tune, which matches up Take Me Home, Country Roads, On the Road Again, and I Will Always Love You, features 30, count them 30, Country Music Association award-winning acts, otherwise known as the CMAs, and was recorded to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the CMA Awards. It was, in fact, the second biggest selling song of last week, with 93,000 downloads sold, and it earned nearly 6 million streams, thanks in part, well, probably largely in part, to its buzzy music video that features all 30 of the acts in the song. The video actually premiered a week ago, I think Tuesday night, right after or on Dancing with the Stars, actually.
Dancing with the Stars, yes, that's correct.
And then shortly after that, I think it hit YouTube and everywhere else. And
same night as Lady Gaga's Perfect Illusion video. It was just very busy on Billboard.com.
Katie remembers this vividly because she was writing about both things. So what are your thoughts on the song, Katie? Because I don't think we actually talked about it last week, did we?
No, I mean, you know, it's a lot of people. It's a really fun game to play to listen and try to guess which person is singing which part, actually.
Which we did.
Which we absolutely did.
We didn't
and
do
actually,
so hot the first time.
I kind of do that game whenever one of these singles comes out that features, you know, dozens of famous people all in one song.
Mm-hmm.
Would I, like, you know, casually listen to it in my car, like, for fun? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to have, like, a cohesive song when you have 30 different voices.
And three different songs that you're mashing
yes.
up together.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe their point wasn't to make it a cohesive song, you know, because it's more like a showcase.
Yeah. I mean, it's designed to celebrate the CMAs and the heritage of the CMA winners. And those three, the three particular artists that wrote those songs, John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads, Willie Nelson, On the Road Again, and Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You, are all previous winners of the award for Entertainer of the Year, which is the biggest award at the CMAs.
And obviously, we lost John Denver, but the other two artists, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, are both featured in original parts on the songs.
Yes, and they're both in the video. And really, I think the song, in a way, kind of exists as like a way to get all these artists together in a really kind of interesting, fun video.
And the real fun.
The video is a
yes,
great to
watch. The video. But Keith and I were also talking about, like, what are they going to do with this song at the CMAs? Like, that's what we're waiting to find out. Like, will they have all 30 on stage together somehow? It could just be 30 of them standing there and it would be visually stunning. Or will they try to do a performance, like, you know, with, like, production value, like, with 30 of the biggest, you know, country stars ever?
I feel like the CMAs are, I believe, the first week in November.
Yeah, it's November.
I feel like they kind of tipped their hat, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
their country hat, their
cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat. Thank you. Their country hat. Their cowboy hat.
You call it a country hat.
Yeah. At the very end of the video, if you watch it, Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood are the next to last people that you see in the video.
Who are also the hosts of the show.
Of the CMA Awards, and they have been for a number of years.
It's their seventh.
Their seventh. And they're together, and the two of them harmonize, and they look at each other, and they're on either side of the screen, and then you go past them, and Dolly Parton is the final performer, and she has the final line in the song. That makes perfect sense. You have your CMA hosts, and out comes Dolly to sing the last line, and you have all 30 acts on stage doing it.
Cue applause.
Can you imagine how hard it would be to execute this song live, though?
I mean, we'll find out, I think, in November.
God, it would just be... Because in the video, it's all green screen. None of these artists were actually mm-hmm. physically together.
Yeah.
But to actually have, like, you know, George Strait, Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson all together.
And it's all, like, quick little pieces of
super quick
vocals, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like... So what, Charlie Pride gets up there to sing four words? I'm like, okay.
If he's standing up there with 29 people of that caliber, I'm sure he's cool with it.
In other Dolly Parton news, she's our chart stat of the week.
Oh, goodness.
So not only is the living legend on the charts as the co-writer of the Forever Country mashup, she also debuts at number 18 on the Hot Country Songs chart with a new version of her 1974 number one hit, Jolene. with the help of Pentatonix.
Yes.
The most likely suspect to ever collaborate with Dolly Parton, of course, Pentatonix. The song, which is credited as Pentatonix featuring Dolly Parton, is a new a cappella update of the Parton-penned tune. Pentatonix uploaded it, the music video, to its YouTube channel a little over a week ago, and it went viral. And the song was also released as a standalone single to purchase on digital retailers. It sold 18,000 downloads in the week ending September 22nd and earned 2.6 million streams in the same week. As the song opens at number 18 on the Hot Country Songs chart, it gives Pentatonix their first country hit, surprise, and brings Parton back to the top 20 for the first time in over 10 years. Living legend, country icon, Dolly Parton has not had a top 20 hit on the Hot Country Songs chart in more than 10 years.
That ain't right.
That's just wrong. It's wrong, y'all. She was last in the top 20 back in early 2006. Again, as a featured artist on Brad Paisley's When I Get to Where I'm Going. When I Get Where I'm Going. Yeah. I always want to put a two in there, and it's not right. And that, of course, hit number one on the country chart. So there you have it. Dolly's back in the top 20 of the Hot Country Songs chart for the first time in over 10 years with a new rendition of her famed hit, Jolene. There's chart stat of the week. Woo!
Woo!
Okay, so now it is time for our interview with Shawn Mendes.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You know,
illuminate me, Keith.
Illuminate me. Well, you know what's really cool about Sean, aside from the fact that he's just cool, is that he is a returning guest to the Pop Shop podcast. He actually was on the show back in July of 2014, basically like a month after Billboard exclusively announced that he had signed to Island Records. Fast forward a little more than 2 years later, he's already had a huge hit debut album. His new album, Illuminate, is on its way to possibly hitting number one next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he just announced an Illuminate World Tour. Sean's doing pretty well. And we talked to him about all that and more. So here's our interview with Shawn Mendes. I know I can treat you better than he can. And any girl like you. Hello, Shawn Mendes.
How are you, man?
Welcome back. You've been on the show before. You may not remember this.
I do.
It was two years ago, like a month after you signed Island.
Why do I know your face then very well?
Because I'm always on red carpets for Billboard.
Yeah, I met you. I saw you on the red carpet.
Yes, at the Billboard Awards and the VMAs and you.
Right.
And who cares about that? Your album just came out. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It must be like a whirlwind week for you right now because the album just came out last Friday and you're in the thick of promotion right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's been an incredible week. I mean, we've been doing the coolest TVs, Jimmy Fallon, Today Show, Ellen, James Corden tomorrow. So like we're really being able to push out everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you doing carpool karaoke?
I wish.
And next time.
Next time.
Next time. It's a tough gig to get onto the carpool.
I heard. That's like harder than anything.
Yeah. Anything, really?
Not really.
No, not really. You know, have you heard from fans and their reaction to the album and what they think of it?
It's been amazing to see the reaction. I mean, I was just really nervous that, you know, maybe it was maybe too mature in some spots.
There is some pretty mature songs on there, yeah.
And they seem to be like really, really vibing with it, which is just the best feeling in the world.
I was going to say, I've been listening to the album now for like, I don't know, whenever the first stream came out, like a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I was struck by how mature it is.
Cool, yeah.
Like, I was like, I can't believe like and I don't mean this in a bad way.
No.
I was like, a 17-year-old guy like did this. And I'm like, I wasn't doing that at 17.
Totally.
Do you feel yourself that you've really grown in like the past 2 years?
Yeah. Like serious amount. I mean, every 6 months I feel like a different person, not like as a like schizophrenic, like different.
You're an alien, you're, really.
Yeah, alien. Now, today I'm a lion.
Oh my God, you took your skin off.
And
crazy.
No, I mean like seriously, like growing up and like, you know, still being myself, yet just I feel like I'm learning so much like every single month. It's changing so much. And that really shows through in the music on a serious level.
I mean, you say that at the end of the album, too. I mean, in that spoken word moment.
You know. That was extremely, you know, that was not wrote. That was just on the spot, spontaneous. After recording the last vocals for the song, I kind of just went into it. And it was just, I thought it was a really nice little thing to add into the album. I was pretty hesitant to put it in at first. But, you know, people were saying that's really cool. And so you never want to hear yourself, you know, speak sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you get over that at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in this profession where you have to hear yourself talk a lot, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, and I actually truthfully try to make my voice sound deeper now in interviews.
Really?
Yeah, because I used to think, like, I was like, what? I don't remember sounding that like, high-pitched.
I hated my voice when I was little because I was just like, man, it's like, why is it so high? And I don't like it. And my voice eventually got deeper, but it's really not that deep now because I'm super massive. No, it just doesn't. It's not.
No, it's not mine. But in person, when I'm just speaking, I feel like it's relatively deep. And I listen back, I'm like, God, I sound like I'm 13.
Hey there, I'm Sean Mendes. Yeah. That's not what you sound
at all. No.
You know, when Treat You Better came out, you know, I don't know how many months ago it was now, and it was embraced so wholeheartedly, not just by your fans, but by radio and top 40 radio and people that probably, you know, didn't know you as well as your fans did. That must have been like really cool to have the song do so well outside of your core fan base, you know?
Incredible. And it's just really awesome, you know, especially after having Stitches be what it was, you know, the monster of a song to kind of have a song that comes up and fights in the same way. It's really cool, man, to see the reaction with the new music.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, when we released Treat You Better, I already knew about this whole new singing vibe. Like, the vocals are very different, and to see people react to, like, you know, the more growl and, like, the more, you know, there's serious
soulfulness,
like, soulfulness in the new music, and I forgot that I put it in because it was so old to me, and then releasing it kind of, you know, lit that flame for me, which is really nice.
You know, on the album, you know, there's some really like kind of like deceptive songs in a way. Like, there are like songs that sound like peppy and fun, but they're really like serious.
Totally. Like Patience, like Lights On.
Like, it's like, you're like, oh, bop, bop. You're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like, you pulled a fast one on me.
Well, yeah, I think because I can't remember a friend of mine from home, his name is Braven, way before I got into anything.
Braven, like brave with an N at the end?
Braven.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, man, like, I just started writing as Heyman. Like, I'm finding it hard to, like, he's a songwriter, like, write happy songs. And he's like, the key is writing sad songs with happy feelings.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, I mean, it's not sad songs, but it's they're darker songs. But then sometimes, you know, really happy songs have really dark feelings.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's easier to write a darker song.
What is the songwriting process for you like? Is it like you have a journal? Do you just have your phone and you suddenly do a memo?
Yeah, it's really random. Like, I'll be inspired, you know, in a green room or in a hotel room, anywhere, in a car, and I'll pull my phone out, record a voice note, or write something down in my notes, and it's just like that quick.
It's funny. The old-fashioned way was like people would have like a journal or like a diary.
I couldn't imagine songwriting. I couldn't imagine how many ideas from great artists went to waste because they couldn't record it quick enough.
Yeah. Oh, there's a great story. Keith Richards was thinking of like how he came up with the riff, I think, for like Satisfaction or something. And he doesn't remember coming up with it because he woke up in the middle of the night, turned on a tape recorder. This is how old this is. Did the riff.
Because he was dreaming it?
I guess so. And then he went back to bed. And the next day he was like, I recorded something. And he played. He's like, whoa, where'd that come from? I could have the story completely wrong.
No.
But I'm pretty sure it's what happened.
Booth, that happens to him a lot too. He was always saying like he wakes up in the middle of the night because he was hearing he heard "See You Again" like in his head, which is amazing. I've never had that. I hope I get that one day.
He's so nice, by the way, Charlie Puth.
He's great,
the Puth man. You know, the tour was announced recently. It starts next year. Are we expecting like dancers and pyro? Is that the kind of show this is going to be?
No, you know that's not what it's going to be.
I don't know. Maybe bust out some like sequins.
No. It's like an acoustic set. You know, it starts off acoustic, goes into a band, there's a beautiful, beautiful production intertwined with the music and a beautiful storyline.
So, are you even like, how far into like the pre-production of the show? Are you just like that's still like a couple months
down
the road?
Pretty close to where I want it to be. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Last thing, and then I should probably let you go. You know, I think it's really cool that you, as a songwriter and singer who plays the guitar, is probably inspiring younger people to pick up an instrument and play. Do you hear from fans that say, I started to play the guitar because of you?
Not only just the guitar, even more importantly to me, songwriting. you know, when fans realize that I only started songwriting a couple years ago, it's a lot of inspiration, and that's so exciting for me. Like, songwriting is beautiful, and lots of people think they can't do it because it's silly or stupid or, you know, and so many people have started, and that's really, really cool to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new album. It's out now, and it seems to be doing quite well.
Yes.
I work at Billboard. I've got privy to some numbers. I don't know. It's doing well.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Good.
And have fun tonight at your show at the Grammy Museum.
Thank you.
Like, you and 20 other people, it seems like.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be a nice, intimate show.
Yeah. And we'll see you out on the road real soon.
Yeah, you will. Thank you, man.
Thanks. Thank you so much to Shawn Mendes for taking the time out of his, like, loopy, busy schedule to talk with us in person. We really, really appreciated it. He's just tireless, man. I don't know how he does it. So thank you so much, Shawn, and good luck on the road with the Illuminate World Tour. Okay, I think we're all done.
Alrighty?
That was quick and easy, breezy, beautiful. I mean, it was a longer show last week, and I think this week it was...
we're giving you a nice, like, easy-breezy show this time.
You will not believe. I have to say, this is... we've got so many things up our sleeves for the next month on this show.
Yep, just seriously stay tuned.
Yeah, and
an embarrassment of riches coming your way.
We never do that, because I usually don't want to, but...
We literally have these things taped, though, so we can say this.
Yes, we literally actually have them in the can.
Not just scheduled, they're happening.
And we are juggling stuff.
Yes.
And we're like, we're in a very fortunate place where we have a number of artists that have all signed on to do stuff with us. And we are so thrilled about stuff that's coming up in the future. So... with that said, what song should we go out on this week, Katie?
Well, you know what? You and I got to see a pretty spectacular U2 performance.
Wait, wasn't U2 the
Vegas?
Song that we went out last week on?
Oh my God, that's right, because I was so excited about that.
We went on a beautiful day.
Okay, well then maybe we should go out on Usher and Ludacris and Lil Jon. Yeah, because we got to see that performed by all three in Las Vegas this weekend.
So we're going out on Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. In the club with my homies,
trying to get a little VI. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.